Because we can always keep on adding the new terminology that we added into the other languages. So just to clarify one last point, the languages that we are seeking or thinking of and would like for all this program to embrace, let's say, for lack of a better word, are all those languages that are not accounted within the six UN languages. So, because we do already take care of that, so you know we don't need to be redundant. One time or another, we have translated perhaps something, some small document in Thai, and I know we definitely have translated several documents in Japanese and in Korean, for example. Very little, very, very, very few in other languages that are out of the six UN. But we really want to encourage the community and encourage everybody, and we are willing to meet the community halfway on this because we know they need the guidance and they need also the help for some of the translations at least. So with that, I don't know if anybody has any questions or comments. No? So, yes. Yes.
Yes, it seems this time. Okay. This is the first trial of this kind of session in ICANN, right? So I think that I hope that there's more people here. But every time in ICANN meetings, there's someone talk about the interpretation and the language diversity in public forum or so. So many people, many participants of ICANN have problems in attending ICANN, reading documents and so on. So it should be more popular, this kind of topic. So what is the problem that of this session attracting not so many people? Maybe we need to educate that we cannot rely only on ICANN about the translation and so on. So the name of this session is community translation. So I think it means that ICANN doesn't do everything. It should be done as a community. So I think such a kind of message should be reached out to everywhere. So unless we don't do that, everybody outside this meeting room complains that ICANN don't do anything. So that's my observation. Thank you.
Thank you, Hiro. Thank you so much. And it's true, what you said is totally true. And yes, we need to find a way to reach out more to the community. This is why actually we're thinking of those small things that we can do from our side, you know, like when we say meet the community halfway with for all these other languages. It is important also to understand that, like you said, ICANN cannot do everything because actually there's not all the money in the world would not allow us to translate absolutely everything in every single language to really reach out to everybody in the world. It's impossible. So we need to have a threshold, you know, a limit. And to move outside of that limit, we can create programs like these so that we can reach out more. And then, you know, and it's something like it could keep growing, going out. And we're really looking forward into that.
Thank you, Hiro. What you say is, this is Jarong, for the record. Hiro, what you say is really close to my heart. And I'm really open to ideas on how we can better spread the word, you know, how to let people know that this kind of work is happening and that community can join in at any time and from the other regions. So I'm really open to ideas on how we can better publicize this. So this time around for this session, we also had a lead up. I'm not sure whether people actually saw the blog post from Christina, and from the regions we sent it out to our networks, let them know that this is the work that's ongoing. And in the lead up, then we had this session, and hopefully we can build more momentum from here. So hopefully we can do this even more regularly and work with you to be able to spread the word and let more people know about it. I'm very open to any ideas here or offline. You can reach out to me anytime. I'm available. Thank you very much.
So with that said, I think the meeting is adjourned. Thank you so very much for your participation. Oh, I'm sorry. Somebody wants to ask something. Yes, of course.
Sorry, I was meaning to ask the question earlier, but I just didn't manage to get in. My name is Chris Dillon, and I'm a member of the Chinese Generation Panel, and I'm co-chair of the Latin Generation Panel. I wanted to ask quite a technical question, maybe we just pick it up later. Actually about glossaries, and I think it might actually to some extent address some of the things which my colleague, a couple along here, was asking earlier. And so really the question is, I'm out of date with what you're doing, and you know, coming in and sort of seeing mentions of things like Quizlet, it's really, really interesting. But I'm quite interested in which platforms you're using for glossaries, because I think they're a really key area. So it's very, you know, we all know, those of us who have translated huge amounts of documents from other languages, I'm one of these people, we know how difficult translation is. Having good glossaries is an absolutely key area. So I would like to ask you which platforms you're using, and then two really rather more focused questions. So one of them is, do you have a way within your glossaries of indicating preferred forms? So what I mean by that is, I was trying to speak French the other day and came across a very, very simple term. I wanted to translate it top-level domain. Now, I speak the kind of French which would allow me to live in France. You know, I can order a baguette. I can do all sorts of everyday things. But, you know, even something like that, I'm thinking, well, you know, how do we do top? So I guessed maybe it's au premier niveau, I said. But the question is, I would suspect that when different translators get translating, they probably have all kinds of ways of doing these basic ICANN terms. And so my first question is whether you do have a way of indicating the form, that the sort of ideal form. And the second question is whether your glossary systems allow you to link to explanations, probably in English, of these terms. So, you know, if I were new to ICANN, I wouldn't just want to know the French term for top-level domain. I would actually also want to know what that is. And, you know, there are probably lots of places we could link to. So if we have a good tool, we could have a link to the explanation. If we have a slightly less good tool, we could just have a field which says, okay, well, we can't put the explanation here, but we can, we can't link to information, but we can at least put a simple explanation within the tool. So it's this this question about glossaries, and I realize it's very, very fiddly, and you might just want to take it offline, but I thought I'd raise it.
I can answer to your question quickly, if you don't mind, because we have another session coming in the middle room, but I can answer your question. We do use a platform, that's the SDL Trados platform. It's very well known in the industry. And yes, our glossaries, we have two sets of material. One is glossaries, which of course includes the word plus the definition, the explanation of what that word means. That's a glossary. And then we have a terminology database, which is just a list of terms. glossaries with the explanation as well as the terminology database with a list of terms are both, in both cases, being done in all the UN languages. That is Arabic, Spanish, French, Russian, and Chinese. You can find that in Quizlet, and you can find that within the ICANN website and also on our wiki website, where you have access to those glossaries. We have a system in which we have a while ago when we were first creating the glossaries and the terminology databases, the multi-term databases, we had session that was about this specifically because we wanted to work with the community to find consensus for some specific terms, and we did so. Once we did that, we took it from there and we kept on going. We have our language service expertise. Each of them are actually they have an expertise on a combination of each of the UN languages and English, and we need to actually ensure that when we come up, ICANN is so good at coming up with new terms. You know, we have, I think we are the kings of acronyms. We have come to agree within the organization and within the Language and Services Department, that we do need to have also a limit in which we say, okay, this is good, this is how this term will stay, and this is how this term should be translated from now on. And every time a new term appears and we translate it, if we are lucky enough, and many times we are, so when we don't hear from the community, it's really because they're happy with it. Otherwise, if we hear from the community, we review that. The expert of the language that was put in question reviews that. And if they feel that it's actually what the community member or the community group has presented as a better term or a term or translation that will actually be more in context to the English term, we of course are willing to agree to that term. But other than that, we are we try to be very strict into implementing the terminology and asking, you know, translators in the community. We follow up with all of our vendors. We have many, many vendors that we work with. They are updated with the terminology database and glossaries on a monthly basis. So yes, we are very structured when it comes to that. And you're more than welcome to access those tools.
Thank you very much for a very full answer.
With that, we do wrap up the session. Thank you so very much, and we look forward to receiving any comments or questions. Please do feel free to reach out to the Language Services team at any time. Thank you.